Hello, everyone. This is Mike Quinsey connecting the light. My guest today is Keith Pendlebury. He's offering up to people a free One Cancer Cure ebook, and he is giving it out as a gift. He's got very special reasons for doing so. So without further ado, I'll welcome Keith onto the program. How are you, Keith?
Well, Mike, I'm doing very fine. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'll tell our listeners that you are 65 years old, and you're on, I guess, what you would call something of a mission here to spread your cancer cure ebook as far as possible. And at least through the radio is one medium that you can do that. Now, I circulated my subscribers with the radio guest details, and I guess you had quite a response as a result. Would you like to tell us how many people contacted you as a result of it?
Well, over a period of 2 days, about 100 people.
Mm.
And it started off on Tuesday morning just with some requests from Slovenia, Holland, the UK, and as the day moved on, and I guess people checked in with the website or read the newsletter, the email we got. It moved into the United States from east to west. It was very, very gratifying to see it happen. Doesn't usually happen quite that way.
Well, I'm very pleased about that. I think I have a special group of people, actually, who are very interested in anything to do with mind, body, and spirit. Although I do sometimes throw in UFOs and ETs for good measure. But they are seriously interested in those type of things. Now, at your age, what is your background to all this? I mean, have you always been interested in sort of natural cures for illnesses and things?
When I was 18, 47, 48 years ago, whatever it was, I walked into my first health food store in Hamilton, Ontario. And nearly walked out again because I was looking around, and this was 1965, and the lady who ran the store, a little tiny gal, and very, very tough, I found out, and just as I was walking in and looking around, she said to the clerk that was with her, I think I'm going to come down with a cold, I'm going to take some penicillin. And so she walked back to the back of the store, and there was this horrible-looking blue thing about the size of a large box of Kleenex, and she started picking at it and eating it. And I said to the lady, the clerk, I said, "What is it?" "Oh," she says, "that's moldy blue bread. She grows her own penicillin." And I thought, if that's what these people are like, there's no way I'm going to do this. Fortunately, I found out that it wasn't that way at all, and that was just something that she did. But I learned that different people do different things for health and well-being, and mine has always been more of a scientific bent. And so from that time on, I became fascinated with it, interested. I didn't realize how much it would play a role in my life. And as I started to learn more, I'd talk about it a little bit, and people would ask me questions once I was more of an adult, married age. And as they asked questions, if I didn't know, I tried to do the research. And when the internet came available, it just opened up so much opportunity to learn, and everything just blossomed from there.
Right. So before you wrote your Cancer Cure ebook, then had you written articles or other books about healing?
I had for my family, but I hadn't put anything out public. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't probably have ever done anything public if I hadn't had the experience with Roger's cancer. And that was more by chance than anything else. But when it was all over and Roger was cured and all the rest of it, he and his wife asked the cancer specialist for all of his lab tests. And they phoned me and gave me the lab tests, and they basically wanted me to share the story with other people. And so most of this idea for the website is something to help other people, because otherwise Roger would have died. It was an amazing thing to go from sitting in the office at the hospital with Roger and having the cancer specialist look at Roger and say, because Roger lived 45 miles off the main road on a dirt road on a sheep farm, and his wife phoned me because we'd been good friends for about 3 years and said, could you take Roger into the hospital to see the cancer specialist? He has an appointment tomorrow. And it was the first I knew he had cancer. I knew he wasn't looking very well. And so I drove out there, got Roger, and took him in, and we sat down in the office, and the doctor walked in and looked at Roger and said, can I talk frankly with this man here? And Roger said, well, Keith's my good friend. I have no secrets from Keith. Roger was 77 at that point in time, as I recall. And the doctor said, well, Roger, your PSA, which is a blood marker for prostate cancer, has gone from being 38 the last test 6 months ago to 44 now. Based on my experience as a cancer specialist, that means that your cancer is now terminal, and at best, you have 6 to 9 months to live. There's nothing medical science can do for you. The best advice I can give you is home and get your affairs in order. Now, the reason I was taking Roger to the hospital in his place was because he had had a couple of seizures, sort of like epileptic seizures, and he couldn't drive. And by the time he got home from somebody else taking to the doctor, he couldn't remember what the doctor said. And so his wife wanted me to relate what had happened, and I was in shock there because I was going to figure out, how am I going to tell her, you know, that he's going to die? And 98 days later, I had this protocol in mind that I had been on, and I had some of the things at my house that I take as normal supplements anyway. And I said to Roger, when we turned to leave the office after the doctor left, Roger turned to me and he said in his Swiss German accent, "Well, Dr. Pendlebury, what are you going to do for me now?" And that was, Roger knows I don't pretend to be a doctor. I've actually had one lady phone from Holland the other day, and we talked for about a while, and she said, "Well, Dr. Pendlebury," and I said, "Not a doctor. I'm entirely self-taught. Don't have any medical license or anything." But Roger told me that he knew I had helped other people. Would I please help him? That was what he was doing. And so we went home and got some of the stuff I had home. We went to a drugstore. Actually, a grocery store that had a pharmacy in it, Canada Safeway here in Salmon Arm, B.C., picked up a couple of things, took them to Roger's house, ordered a couple of things online, and we took Roger back 98 days later, and Roger's PSA had fallen from 44 to 1.31, which was only one-fifth of what would have been perfectly normal for a man his age. And I remember when the doctor opened up the lab test and took a look at it. He sort of blinked and did sort of an exaggerated gesture like, I can't believe this. And then he said to Roger and I, according to this, your PSA is 1.31, and that means there's no sign of active prostate cancer anywhere in your body. Must be a bad test. And 2 years later, Roger's PSA was lower than his cancer doctors, and at that point in time, he just said, basically, you don't need me. And so that's sort of the long and the short of it. But we documented that, and all of the lab tests are in the book, along with a lot of studies that were done by the U.S. government and Veterans Affairs Hospital in St. Louis, and published in the Journal of the American Medical Association in 1996. And so people can see that this is not some weird thing. And we've had thousands and thousands and thousands of people have the books now. And most of them don't get back to me and tell me how they're doing. Some of them do. And it's I'm here to help anybody. There's on the website, when they ask for the e-book, which I now send out myself, there's room for them to say, would you phone me, and check off a box and put their phone number. And sometimes I get back to them as fast as a minute or two, because every email pops up on my screen when it comes in. and I can see what people want. And so all of the people that contacted me on Tuesday and Wednesday of this week have all been contacted. Everybody got all their e-books. I've made about 25 or 30 calls to people all over North America and answered their questions, and it's been a very good couple of days.
That's wonderful to hear. I don't want to get really onto the negative side here, but in the course of your time promoting the idea of normal methods of treatment, do you find that you've had much opposition from the sort of professionals?
I've had some interesting experiences for sure. Before One Cancer Cure came out, as I would be helping other people in town, one time I had a call from a lady, and she phoned and she said, "Who are you?" And I told her, "I'm Keith Pendlebury." She said, "What do you do?" I said, "I help people." And she says, "Are you a doctor?" I said, "No." And she says, "Well, my husband has had a colon cancer tumor." removed from his gut by Dr. Saab, who is a surgeon here in Salmon Arm, who noted that two-thirds of this in the liver were totally involved in cancer. Mm-hmm. And he was told he had about 90 days to live, and this is about 6 weeks later, so we're about halfway to the point where they expect he's going to die. Yes. And she says, "I was telling some of my friends today about this, because we figure we might as well let people know that he's going to die so it doesn't come as a full surprise." And two of the women said, "Oh, you should go talk to Mr. Pendlebury. I do have a bit of a reputation around here. I have had occasionally local doctors phone me and threaten to take me to court or sue me or send the police out because I'm practicing medicine without a license." I told one doctor, I said, "That's better than killing people with a license that you've got because of the stuff you do to them." I never heard from him again. My own, I better not say who. I have now had contact with physicians in this region who send their elderly male patients to me because they have heard about my book. We had a lady doctor in town here who told one doctor who knew me, she knew he knew me, that she wanted to get a copy of the book because her father, who lives about 80 miles away from here, who's 80 years old, had prostate cancer, and she was going to give him some injections of hormone-killing stuff to actually chemically castrate him with the drug to reduce the rate at which the cancer... And the old man said, "You ain't doing that to me. You give me that Pendlebury's book." I have no idea how he heard about it. And she contacted the doctor she knew that knew me, and he phoned me. I phoned her to see if I could drop it off that day. She wouldn't return calls for 4 days. Finally, I got the impression I was dangerous for her to contact me as far as she was. She didn't want to have anything to do with me, but she wanted the book. So I took the book to the doctor that had called, and he got it to her. And now I've had calls from doctors as far away as India. I had one the other day from a doctor in England. I've had people tell me that their doctor someplace in the United States has said, "Do this, contact this guy, get this book, and I'll work with you. Whatever he says to do, we will do together." And so it's nice to see that because it isn't something weird or strange, it's something that the doctors can look at and they can recognize that if they do the research, you do selenium and cancer research on Google, there's somewhere between 6 and 7 million references to it. And on the website, I have U.S. government studies, research, all the rest of it, all the links, so people can look at it and know that this isn't some crackpot idea. And I think the doctors relate to that. And the fact that I'm not trying to sell it and gouge people, I've seen places online where one fellow who is quite well known for working with cancer, is a medical doctor, and for what I give away on the website and all the links that are all there, there's a lot more, he charges $297. And quite frankly, there's more between my book and my website than I believe he gives And so this is sort of my thanks to Roger and my memorial for my dad. My dad died of cancer before Roger came along. And I swore that when my dad tried the protocol that I had, and at that point in time, which wasn't as good or as effective, and I didn't know everything that I needed to know, and Dad was sort of an experiment on it, and he knew that. That Dad had cancer on his neck, and it was weeping fluid and things, and my sister, Val, this lived in southern Ontario, is a registered practical nurse, and Dad was living with her. Mom had died a couple of years before that, and she was looking after Dad. And they told me after Christmas that it had been diagnosed. And I sent Dad down a whole bunch of stuff for the protocol. And his cancer started to heal up. And he went to the cancer specialist that he had and said, "Look at that, Doc. My son sent me some stuff, and I'm taking it." My dad hated the idea of taking any kind of pill whatsoever. Just chewed him up inside. He didn't like that idea at all. And the cancer doctor said, "Yeah, Ted, gee, that looks measurably smaller than it was last time I saw you. That's really nice. Glad for that." A couple months later, at the most, the cancer specialist phoned my dad and said, "Ted, it's time for you to start on your radiation treatment." And my dad thought, "Well, that's kind of stupid. If I'm getting better, why do I need to do radiation?" But he went to see the doctor anyway. And Dad was 84. And the doctor said, "Ted, you need to start taking radiation because it's your turn, and this is how the procedure goes." And Dad said, "Well, I'll tell you what. You know, take a look at my neck. It's even better than the last time, right?" And the doctor said, "Yes, it is, Ted. It's even better." He said, "Largely, you know, what looks like if we keep on like that, it'll close off itself and heal." And then the doctor said, "But you still need to get your radiation." And Dad said, "I'll tell you what, how about we let the guy on the list behind me take my place, and I'll take his place, we'll trade, and then if this starts to grow again, I'll take the radiation, but otherwise, we'll just keep doing that, and if it gets better all by itself, that'd be great." And the cancer specialist looked at Dad and said, "Well, Ted, there's only one problem with that. If you don't take it now, you go to the end of the line, and the waiting list is 2 years. Dad was 84. And I feel he was pressured or bullied into taking it 90 days to the day after his first radiation treatment, he died. The radiation wiped out his immune system, devastated him. And my sister, Val, is, in my view, an angel. She looked after Mom when Mom was sick. She looked after Dad. And Dad's agony, as my sister described it to me, because they were 3,500 miles east of where I live, Dad did not want me to see him in pain. It was extreme, and I would phone, and my sister would be in tears. Now, my sister is a registered practical nurse. She has seen hundreds of people die in the seniors' home where she lives. And she was in tears at what Dad was going through and how hard he was fighting to live despite the pain. He had unlimited amount of morphine. It wouldn't do any good. The doctors trusted my sister with anything that she thought would help my dad. And she basically, I remember, 3 nights in a row, I phoned her. And she said, "I have never seen anybody go through so much agony in the process of dying." And I swore that I would find something that would help people, that they would never have to go through that. Neither my sister nor somebody watch somebody that they love die, if I could do anything to prevent it. And that's what stimulated more research and the ebook and getting it away, because I don't want anybody to say that I charged them money and therefore they didn't have the money to buy the selenium, or they didn't have money to buy the supplements or the food or whatever they needed. And so I'm funding this to give it away. And it matters to me that I do that.
I think that's absolutely wonderful. I think I should make the point on your behalf here that you are aware that the cure doesn't necessarily work for every type of cancer, but I believe you feel it is successful where cancer develops tumours. Would that be correct?
Well, all of the research shows that, number one, that prevention is far better, and that there is a protocol in the ebook on how, for maybe 3 to 6 cents a day, you can reduce your risk of getting any cancer that forms tumors, and probably other cancers as well. The problem comes with skin cancer and the blood cancers, that the evidence at this particular point in time is that the selenium is not anywhere near as effective as it is at tumors. In a cancer tumor, about 80% of the cells are normal body cells, and about 15 to 20% of the cells are cancer cells. In skin cancer, it doesn't work quite the same way, and in the blood cancers, it doesn't work quite the same way, and so I don't think it's as effective. But I think if people were concerned about cancer before they got it, before it was massively, destroying their life, their body, and all over the place, that it works best if we can get it early. I'll give you an example. On my website, One Cancer Cure, there is a page called Letters I Receive. And at the bottom of that page, there's a story by that is this three parts of three letters from a mother in Ohio. And on August 27th, I got a letter from her. And this will just show you how it goes, just little bits of the letter. And I had a radio interview with a fellow named Jack Spierko in August, and she heard that. And she said, "I wanted to request a copy of your ebook to learn if the selenium treatment would be appropriate for my two-and-a-half-year-old daughter, Isabel. Izzy was diagnosed with neuroblastoma cancer in March of 2011. She has a 5x6x7 centimeter tumor in her upper left chest. She's been through 12 rounds of chemo, a thoracotomy, where they actually went into the thorax and removed part of the tumor, 2 rounds of high-dose chemo with stem cell transplant, and intravenous I-1-MIBG radiation. That was to kill her immune system. She was practically an invalid at diagnosis." She said they're working with a regular doctor and a chiropractor and a nutritionist and all the rest of it. And then on September 13th, so this is August 27th to September 13th, just to show what I try to do. By that time, we had exchanged 7 emails and had 2 phone calls. This didn't cost her a dime. And she said, on September 6, 2012, the surgeons did an updated CT scan of Isabel's neuroblastoma. They hope to debulk the tumor sometime in September. Izzy is having 3 tablets of selenium a day with no problem. She weighed 25 pounds. So obviously she wouldn't get the full adult dose of it, but this isn't a dose that was appropriate to her weight. The scan that they did will be baseline for a comparison. And that's so they were going to see from that point on how it happened. November 19th, I got a letter and a photo. And Mindy wrote this. Just a little bit of what's there, the letter. Yes. "Dear Keith, hello, I hope you're doing well. I wanted to share you the latest about Isabel. She underwent a core biopsy on October 11th. And a very good representative sample was taken, 7 cores. So they put a hollow needle into her chest 7 times and took out samples from the tumor. We learned the pathology results for the disease status last Friday. No active cancer cells were found. We are beyond amazed. Thank you so much for your time and prayers for little Isabel. It is obvious God is protecting and sustaining her, and we are continuing to pray that he has or will render every last cancerous cell harmless. We believe your help has been instrumental in this good news. That's what I work for.
Wonderful.
And when, you know, not all of the time do you do that. Not all of the time are we going to be successful. But if you go to that page below that, this was sent to me for Thanksgiving, is a picture of Isabel as a three-year-old now, standing on a chair. I have pictures of Isabel that I didn't publish, which show tubes coming out of her nose with blood in them, totally bald, gaunt-looking. If you look at this picture, you would swear that that child had never been sick a day in her life. That's what I'm working for. And when I have people who are conscientious and follow the protocol, you know, things can happen that are very well. Not everybody does. I had one fellow who I talked with because he sent me an email and said, this ain't working for me. Mm. And so I phoned him, and he gave him his phone number, and I asked him, and I said, why? What are you doing differently than the protocol? Because you're supposed to take it with food and not take it with other things, with selenium. And he told me, well, he says, I don't like taking pills throughout the day, he said. So he has a chocolate milkshake mix that he bought, and he made chocolate milkshake in the morning. And he took the selenium out of the capsules, along with all of his other medications, out of their containers, and he put it all in the milkshake and drank it all once.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm sitting there thinking, do you really think this is a good idea? I mean, do you not realize that you got this insignificant amount of selenium in each one of those capsules? It's very good at killing cancer, but when you mix it with all kinds of other things, how do you know what happens when it's in the shake, that it doesn't get just totally wiped out or overwhelmed, and you drink it down and you expect it to be effective? It probably isn't. That's why you're not getting the results that you should get. And it's a bit of a battle. Every doctor will tell you, and everybody who's involved in medication, if people don't follow the protocol, they don't get the results.
Right.
But it's so nice to get letters from people telling you that they do.
Yeah. Now, overall, have you any means of judging how successful your cancer cure is?
Not really. Up until middle of September, people were able to go to the original website and download the ebook themselves. None of the other information, just the original ebook. And in the ebook, it says what we did for Roger. And I had no way of getting back to people because I had no way of contacting them because I had no record of who they were. In the middle of September, I changed the website. I got different website software. I did this myself. And since that time, I have been able to get back to some people, but quite frankly, that's only 4 or 5 months. And I would have to say I've had people that when I get something that I figure is reliable, and I've gotten others that I have questions on, I put it on the letters I receive site. But I think most people are just so happy to be relieved of the cancer that they just go on with their life and never volunteer, despite the fact I do ask in the ebook, would you please get back, send me something to show you were diagnosed, really diagnosed with cancer, and send me something you were free of. There is one that I got that is actually a man named Alan Taylor, who's in England.
Yeah.
And there was a story on him in the Daily Mail and the Sunday Mirror, I believe it was, in England in, I think it was September 15th and 17th. And they have a picture of him in there, and he was diagnosed with terminal colon cancer. And he was told to go home. There was nothing they could do. He decided to go online, and voila, he found himself a protocol to get rid of cancer online. And then he followed the protocol and adapted it a little bit in his own way. And when they wrote the story, he had already received the letter. The thing that was so amazing was he'd gone back to the hospital where they were expecting him to be dead, and he was still alive, and they did a test on him and found his colon cancer was totally gone. And so there's a picture of him holding up a bag of barley green and with the a European brand of selenium that I recommend for people who are in Europe who can't get the American stuff. And you just plainly in the picture, and it says what he did. But that's a rarity, unfortunately. It would be nice to have all of them. I expect over time they will build up. But, you know, a lot of people just take the material and go and apply it, and you never hear a word from them. Have people who listen to your program but never communicate with you, right?
Well, I guess so, yes. There must be some people who don't, although I do get emails on different subjects.
Yeah.
The thing I wanted to ask you here now, you mentioned that there are some 7 million references to your therapy, which people can Google.
To the use of selenium for people that have cancer. I'm not saying 7 million for me, although there's a lot of those, but for selenium, I mean, it's been used since 1911. In 1911, there was a researcher who used to inject the rock salt, what I call the rock salt form, sodium selenite, sodium selenate, just a straight chemical thing that looked pretty much like rock salt, dissolve it in water, and they would inject it into tumors that had broken through the skin. And the description is that it dissolved the tumors. Didn't say whether or not the person lived or not, but it dissolved the tumors. So as far back as 1911, selenium has been used, and there are references on, I think, about the 8th or 9th page of the website. It says PubMed studies. Now, PubMed is the place where the U.S. National Institutes of Health put records of complete studies that have been published in peer-reviewed medical journals. And I did a search on PubMed because I have access to it, and there were 3,827 published studies on selenium and cancer. And I did a screenshot on the page. I skimmed through the first 200 studies and picked out the ones that applied to human beings as opposed to just the ones that applied to animals. And I put some of those on there. And there are some links so that people can see that, you know, it's a legitimate study that happens all the time in normal medicine and is well known. And science is making its slow progress forward.
The point I wanted to raise with the references on Google is that presumably there are lots of different ideas put forward as to how selenium can be used. In other words, is your own therapy unique in any way?
Well, I have found in research, and every other one that I've seen falls into one of two categories. If it's a medical doctor who's doing it, they want to use sodium selenite, which is a rock salt version of it. That is actually approved for use in dog food. The form of selenium, it was approved in the 70s because it's cheap. And it is well known that if you put a solution of sodium selenite in a petri dish, in a test tube, it will kill any cancer cells that are there. Lots of things would do that. You could do the same thing with aspirin. You can do the same thing with vitamin C. But in this particular case, the selenium yeast that I found, which is manufactured by a company down in Fresno, California, and they do not make a supplement. They sell the supplement to about 20 different companies that put it in their own supplement, and I have a link on the email that I send out to everybody that says you can get 180 of these capsules for $5.49. So about 3 cents a capsule. You take one a day, you have it. So in the ebook, there is a protocol to prevent cancer. And we're using the selenium yeast, which is a perfectly safe form of selenium and not toxic to human beings. You could probably, although I wouldn't necessarily suggest this, the most selenium I can find that was ever used in a properly constituted study supervised by a medical doctor was done by Dr. Donaldson at the Veterans Affairs Hospital in St. Louis in the late 1970s. He had 140 veterans, all of whom had cancer, all of whom had been given whatever treatment, whatever radiation, chemo, surgery was available in those days, and the cancer in all of them, these guys had come back. And they were all diagnosed as being terminal. And so Dr. Donaldson thought that the reason people got cancer was they were not able to absorb the selenium. In the eastern half of the United States, the selenium amount in the soil is so low that the average person gets about 70 micrograms a day when you need about 200 as a preventive. There's more in some areas in the West. Where I live in BC and in the western, most of, some of the western United States, northwest United States, there's next to none in the soil whatsoever. But he then checked the blood level of selenium in all of these people, and the ones that got had were very low got 2,000 micrograms of selenium. The ones that had close to what he thought was a normal level got about 600. And Dr. Donaldson was killed 18 months into the study, so it was never properly published. But 100, what we know, the end results were 4 years after this. Now, I want to back up. Of these men, because they were all men, most of them were diagnosed as being expected to die within a few weeks to 4 to 6 months. That was their expected lifespan, and that's what they had to be in order to qualify for the study on the selenium. 4 years later, 106 of those men were still alive with no symptoms of cancer. Now, in my case, I found that there were some supplements that were known to allow the human body to recycle the selenium once it had killed some cancer cells to kill more. Now, if the cancer is small and starting, just you've been diagnosed with it and it's not extensive. My own belief is as long as you take the selenium yeast, it's safe for you to take. You take the 2,000 micrograms, you can hit it hard. And in most cases, if your digestive system is working and your body will use the selenium to kill the cancer because it isn't loaded with all kinds of other toxic chemicals, that you will respond quickly. If, however, you need... your lifestyle has been such that you've been a smoker, your body's polluted with all kinds of toxic chemicals and things, you might want to consider the supplements because they will enhance the work of the selenium. We've also found ways to increase the body's ability to produce the white, the natural killer cells, the parts of your white blood cells that actually are designed by your body to attack and kill cancer cells. We can do both of those things together. So the entire package of information I send out basically tells people how to do those things. So it isn't just a case of giving people the selenium, which is in every other study, that's what there is. It's trying to make sure that everybody knows that they've got options, and depending on their situations, there may be a few more things that they can do that would make their results much better than they would be otherwise.
So, are you
so in that way, I think it is a bit unique.
Right, yes, good. Are you saying that your cure is generally successful, but if someone is, as you mentioned, say a smoker, and they become cured, but then they carry on polluting or damaging their body, would it follow then that the cancer could come back?
Well, in Roger's case, I'll give you an example. When we went to see the doctor, and Roger's PSA had fallen from 44 to 1.31 in 98 days, and he said, there's no sign of active prostate cancer in your body. That was the beginning. That was May. We continued on with the therapy a little bit, but I had to take my son, David, about a 16-hour drive away to live with his sister over the summer for summer vacation and have a job so that he could have money for school. And while I was gone, I gave Roger and his wife a shopping list of things to get to replace the things we had used. And they did everything right except, they didn't drive, so So they gave the shopping list to a friend, and the friend picked up a different brand of selenium, not the one we had originally used. And I didn't. I stayed where I was with my son for a couple of weeks and then came back, and I knew Roger was fine, and I knew, quote, that they were carrying on with the therapy. And so when it came time for his next test, I phoned and I asked his wife, I said, well, what was Roger's latest PSA? And she said, it was really great. It was 3.24. Now, that's half of what would have been normal, but it was almost three times what it had been. Yeah. That's when my education started, and I realized something is going wrong here. So I drove out to their place and found they were taking a different brand of selenium. That's where I realized, although it said it on there that was a selenium yeast, that it wasn't the same quality as what we had had in the beginning. We put Roger back on the stuff we had used originally, which was made by Weber here in Canada, about 300 miles from where I live. And his next test, it had dropped from 3.24, down to 1.51. Then it went to 0.85. Then it went to 0.58. Then it went to 0.34, and that was the last test. So every 6 months, he had another test. At that point, the doctor said, forget it, you got no problem. Even if the doctor diagnoses you and says you're cured, all that really means is the doctor cannot detect a tumor, can't see it because it's not big enough. It doesn't mean that every single cancer cell is killed. And so I have learned from other people's experience that we need to continue with a lower dose of selenium for a longer period of time. And in a case, for instance, we have a fellow over in Taiwan who's been a heavy smoker for about 30 years, and he had bladder cancer, and the doctor wanted to remove it surgically, which he did. And his daughter works here in BC, and I've been working with her, and I said, the problem with bladder cancer is that smokers, the poison from the smoke collects in the lungs and in the bladder, and the tendency is that the bladder will... it's got all of the stuff in it to cause cancer, and it will come back every 6 months no matter what the doctor does. And the only way to do that is to continuously take the selenium to continuously kill the cancer cells and build up his immune system with the natural killer cells so that when it starts, they can attack, because the natural killer cells will find it within 72 hours, and they will kill it if they can. And so the less poison, the less toxic environment a person has, the more likely they are, once they've gotten rid of it, it will stay gone. But I still say to people, still continue if you've had it. Take one or two of these capsules. I mean, most people can afford 6 cents a day.
Right.
And they're worth it, at least to somebody. And, keep taking it, because it is a very good preventative. And if it comes back, there's a protocol that we have in the book of how to do it, and if people have questions, I have no problem about phoning somebody and say, this is what I would do if I was you. So I'm trying to help as many people as I can, and sometimes you can do that with just the book. Sometimes they need a personal bit of advice.
Brilliant. Now, Keith, there are people where cancer runs in their families, and they might hear of your cure. And you are telling us that your therapy can reduce their risk of getting cancer. Now,
right.
Would the therapy be exactly the same for someone who hasn't yet got cancer, who fears that they may, as someone who's got it and then been cured from it?
Well, it would depend on the kind of cancer that they had. Now, most of the time in my research, there is a vast difference when people say it's genetic. For instance, in breast cancer now, only about 5% of the women who have breast cancer actually have a gene that seems to make it run in their family. Now, whether or not that gene is actually becomes the cause of cancer can be largely prevented by proper nutrition. And one of the things that happens is, and I've got an audio that I send a link to with the email, where it deals with a type of The colored compounds in fruits and vegetables are called carotenoids. Comes from carrots, which are the orange color, and carrots is a carotenoid. There are others in red peppers and cantaloupe and spinach and all kinds of things. And the audio that I send with the email tells people how to do that, how to use those, how much they need, where to get it, all that sort of stuff, and how that if you have enough of the carotenoids in your food, in your diet, it doesn't require any strange foods. I mean, strawberries and cantaloupe and spinach and red peppers, sweet red peppers and other sorts of things are the sources of it, peaches, whatever. And if you have enough of those dinner, the women in breast cancer case, for instance, the women who have the highest amount of those things in their diet have by far the lowest rates of breast cancer. And so if somebody's had it, then they are on alert that they might have it, and I might suggest they take two or three capsules of the right kind of selenium per day, which is a normal safe dose. Two is considered to be 400 micrograms, which is in two, is considered to be a normal safe dose for an adult, but it's six times more than you get if you're living in the eastern United States in your normal food. If somebody has never had it, cancer, and they're concerned that they might get it, most of the time, whether or not they get cancer isn't a genetic thing, it's an environmental thing. They eat, they have certain food habits. They live in a certain area that is known to be polluted. And so we take a look at what the actual experience is. I have a lady that I'm going to phone tomorrow about 10 o'clock in the morning, and she lives in Louisiana in what is called Cancer Alley because of all of the petroleum chemical plants down there and lots and lots and lots there of cancer in that area. That's why it's nicknamed Cancer Alley. And so we're going to look at what sort of foods she can have that will tend to do give her less of a chance of having it, and we're going to see if some supplements might help. There is a supplement that I know of that can actually remove toxic chemicals from the human body. And if you had the selenium, for instance, that all by itself will tie up mercury in the human body so it can't harm you, whether you've had dental amalgam in your teeth or whatever. If you take or just a small amount of selenium, that will combine with the mercury, make a totally insoluble thing. Eventually you will excrete it, but it will prevent it from doing any harm. If you detoxify your home, and I send out a two-page document that tells you the toxic chemicals that are in normal household products. I did seminars on that for 7 years and will tell you what's in the type of laundry detergent and what's in the household cleaners and what's in the other thing so that you can find, you know, things that you use that you might want to change for a safer brand. And I try to do as much as I can to reduce your risk. And if you do those things, and you did all of them, you virtually eliminated all except the genetic things. And by good food, good nutrition, chances are you can reduce, you can pretty much eliminate the expression of that bad gene actually doing anything. And if your immune system's up, even if it does it, the natural killer cells can kill the cancer before it starts to get big enough to form a tumor. They can actually hunt down individual cells and kill them. So we're trying to do a complete thing that will help everybody have the very best chance of never getting cancer in their entire life.
Right. In general terms, then, what particular foods contain selenium that people would be advised to take regularly?
Well, the answer is we're not really sure. In history, the best food was Brazil nuts. Yeah. And when those studies were done, the Brazil nuts were wild grown in the Amazon basin of Brazil. And when they did studies on those, if somebody was to eat a small handful of Brazil nuts in a day, that would give them more than 200 micrograms of selenium. The problem is, that you used to be able to, and I could never get a straight answer to this. There were some Brazil nuts that are sold shelled and some that are sold with the shell on. And I believe it was the ones with the shells on that they used to sell that were the ones that were grown wild, and the ones that were shelled were the ones that were from the plantations. Now, virtually all of the ones that are sold from Brazil, which is why they call them Brazil nuts, are plantation ones, and although they probably do have a good amount of selenium in them, you don't have any guaranteed amount in them. Certain types of fish, I believe swordfish have some, but swordfish also collect mercury. And if you go online and you just put selenium in foods in a Google search, up will come a list. The thing you have to remember is that the amounts that are listed there were, in all fact, only that applied to that particular sample. And if it isn't grown in soil that has much selenium in it, there isn't going to be much selenium in it, even if there was in the sample they had. I've seen analysis, for instance, of oranges that have had anywhere from 0 to 180 milligrams of vitamin C in the orange, and yet they looked exactly the same. The average is 60, but that doesn't mean that there's 60 milligrams of vitamin C in every orange. And so that's the only challenge there. Even putting soil, I had one fellow say, well, can I fertilize the soil in my garden with selenium? Now, some plants, like broccoli, do seem to collect it, and Brussels sprouts as well. But there is no selenium fertilizer that you can put on, and there have been massive experiments because it is essential for cattle and essential for some plants. And what you're looking at is 1 teaspoon of selenium spread over an acre of ground is the amount that's there. And so it's really hard to come up with any food that has it. It's either in the soil or it ate. And it would be nice if there was a food that you could really count on and to do it. But Brazil nuts are the richest source. And so if you want to have some food that has it, fine. The only interesting thing is I had one fellow say, well, wouldn't it be cheaper to get the Brazil nuts? And I said, well, not really, because if you 3 cents for a capsule of selenium that has 200 micrograms, which is what you need to prevent it, versus what the cost of the Brazil nuts would be, I think the Brazil nuts are more than 3 cents. And so for many things, reluctantly, you'd have to say the supplement is the best thing to purchase.
Right. Now, you've mentioned selenium tablets, sodium selenite, selenium yeast.
Yep.
Are all those as good in their own way, or why are these sort of different ones put forward?
Well, medical people like to have pure chemicals. And in the studies that they do, they like to have sodium selenite because it doesn't have to go through the digestive system. The selenium yeast was developed in the 1980s as a way to get a given amount of selenium into people because the only other alternative was to try and find foods that had it because you can't give people an injection of it because in the forms that it was injectable, it's highly toxic. So they actually started growing Fleischmann's yeast, the kind they used to make bread with. Then they found that there was one particular variety of that that did good. And they grow the yeast in a solution that has some selenium. The selenium absorbs a very specific amount of yeast to use in a very specific protein that the yeast makes. Then they kill the yeast. They blow the walls of the yeast apart, spray dry it. So you actually have a little powder that has a very tiny amount of yeast in it. When I tell people, some people, you know, you need to take 10 of these a day if you have cancer, full-blown cancer, some people get very concerned, but there is 1,600 times more medication in a regular-sized aspirin than there is selenium in 10 capsules. So it's very, very, very tiny amount. It's just a measured amount because they know how much is in the yeast. And it's there are two other forms. There's selenomethionine and selenocysteine, which are man-made versions of what how the yeast is found, how the selenium, is found in something like broccoli, for instance. The problem, they've used those in studies, and they've proven ineffective compared to the selenium yeast. So the selenium yeast is perfectly digested. Your body recognizes it as a food. It's not a yeast in the sense it would give you a yeast infection because it's basically like a protein powder with the selenium as part of it and a little tiny amount of B vitamins. And it is highly absorbed. You get at least 85 to 89% of the selenium that's in that form absorbed into the body with no toxic problems. You'd probably have to take 250 to 300 capsules a day for 2 to 3 months of the selenium yeast before you would experience any adverse health effects from the selenium. And nobody, that's, you know, like taking a bottle and a half, a big bottle and a half a day of that, and that's not likely. And the other side of the coin of that is that if 10 would do it for a 75% survival rate for people that were terminal, if you can enhance the immune system, if you could make the selenium be recycled in the human body, that should be more effective than just the selenium on its own. And that's what they used. In the 1996 Journal of the American Medical Association, the selenium yeast, they gave guys one tablet of that a day. There were 1,300 people that had skin cancer. They divided the group into half. 650 people got one tablet a day for the first 4.5 years, and then a sugar pill after that for the next 5.5 years, and the other group got the sugar pill for the 10 years. At the end of the 10 years, it was going to be a 20-year study, but they stopped it because the guys who had got the selenium didn't have any less return of the skin cancer. They still had some of that. But they had 70% less prostate cancer, 67% less colorectal cancer, less than half of the lung cancer of the people who didn't get any. And that was on one tablet a day, and none of them had it in the last 5.5 years of the study. So it has worked very well for those kinds of cancers that form tumors, even on a very small amount. And I would like to see, I had one doctor tell me that based on his studies, if every young woman in the United States from her teens on would take one capsule of selenium a day, by the time those young women were in their 40s, breast cancer would have been at least 80% eliminated in the United States. I thought that was pretty good. That video is at the end of my website in the videos.
Yes, that's fantastic. So I haven't actually asked you what your cancer cure is, but clearly from what we've been talking about, you're advising people to take certain levels of these selenium tablets. Now, do you tell people, to all of them, to do the same thing?
No. I tell people what, I show people the studies that were done, and I let people know that basically, if you're in prevention mode and you're a young person, one a day would be fine. If you're, say, 50 or beyond, you've been exposed to lots of chemicals and other sorts of things, you might want to have a protocol that actually would kill small tumors, and you might want to repeat that a year down the road. If you've had cancer, then and it was handled because you had surgery, chemo, or radiation, you need to understand that chemo or radiation make you somewhere between 18 and 30 times more likely to get another form of cancer because of the chemo or the radiation. And so there's something else that you might want to do there. If you have cancer and it is got tumors and we are at it's small at a certain stage, you probably don't need very much. If it's full-blown in your body and your doctor's told you there's nothing else you can do, then we try and throw everything we possibly can at it. For some people, it may be as simple as we're going to try, because I had a gentleman from San Jose who got a hold of me, and I suppose it was probably through your book, through your newsletter, could have been. He didn't reply back. But his wife has had breast cancer. She had one breast removed. She had 26 lymph nodes removed. And she had radiation and chemo, and they told her that it was gone. And then 4 months later, they found that it was in her lungs. Well, it was always in her lungs. The problem with killing a primary tumor is they know that primary tumors produce two hormones. The first one causes blood vessels to grow towards the tumor so it gets unlimited nutrition and can grow to beat the band. The second hormone it produces is a hormone to suppress the growth of all secondary tumors that break off from it and start to grow in the rest of the body. And when the doctor removes the primary tumor, one of the reasons that they give you chemo is because they want to kill all the rapidly growing new cells in your body. Now, it kills every rapidly growing new cell, including all the ones that are supposed to replace the brain cells, the kidney cells, the liver cells, all the rest of it that are to replace the ones that should be dying anyway. You get a double whammy. But they didn't, in her case, do something that was effective to get the ones that were in her lungs. And so now she has cancer in her lungs and her bones. And so I said to her husband, because I talked with him, he said, I would love to talk to you. So I phoned him back. It was three phone calls that we had that day. As he was at work the first time, phoned him back, and then I phoned him back later as he had a few questions. And I told him what to get to boost your immune system, told him where to get the supplement that he could get today, which would cost a little more than if he ordered it from the place where he could get it online. Cost him about $12 instead of $5.49, but then he could get the cheap stuff and how long it would last and all the rest of that. And I told him, I said, we don't have much hope here, but the only hope is something that she can cope with. And so we've got to boost your immune system. We've got to get the selenium into her, and we have to maximize its availability into her, and those are the only things that we can do. After that, it's up to God and her will to live. And I believe in praying like it all depends on God and passing the ammunition and doing everything we possibly can, and somewhere in there, we'll do whatever we can do, and we'll have to hope for the best, because when you're right up against it and it's that bad, the chances are not good because you're dealing with a huge amount of cancer tissue. But the doctors give up on people. I don't ever give up on people. I hate losing anybody. I relive losing my dad every time I lose somebody, and it is not nice. I do not want to do it. I will fight like hell.
Right. Now, Keith, from my own point of view, I think I've exhausted the number of questions that I wanted to ask you. And you've done exceptionally well in giving information in response. Is there anything that I might have overlooked that you want to add?
Well, I think I'd like to make one point here. And that is, you don't have to wait until you have cancer to prevent you to deal with it. You can prevent it. Prevention for the vast majority of people would be as simple as taking one tablet or one capsule of selenium a day. Everybody's worth at least 5 cents to themselves. Considering what it costs to deal with the cancer, not dealing with prevention, you can take one capsule, suck it down in a couple of seconds, and do that every day. Protect your whole family. It's cheap enough. I mean, you for 25 cents, you can protect 8 members of your family in one day against having the risk of cancer. And the longer they take it, the better the risk reduction is going to be. The second thing is a little bit of a plea, I suppose, and that is remember that every chemical that you use, every prescription drug that you take, everything you spray, paint, or whatever, is going to affect somebody. And do your very best not to pollute the place you are, because it will come back to haunt you, or it will affect somebody else. Something somebody else does will affect you. I would really like people to understand that there is no place to hide. What you do will affect somebody else, and what everything everybody else does will affect you. And the last but not least, if you've got a problem. I know I can't help everybody else. But very often my day starts somewhere between 2:30 and 4:30 and ends about midnight. My kidneys are down to 17% function. I have no idea how long it'll be before they'll fail totally and I'll have to be on dialysis or get a kidney transplant. And there's 100,000 people on the transplant list.
Wow.
So there's not a whole lot out there. But I would love to help everybody that I can, as long as I can, as much as I can. And if you go to page 4 on Cancer Cure and you fill in the form, I will stay up that day as long as it takes to send out as many e-books as I possibly can, and I will help you any way I can. Most people, if you're interested in it, then share it with somebody else. Share the website link so other people can go and get their own. And that will save more lives. And if people share with one another, that will do more good than anything else I'm going to be able to do in my entire life.
All right.
Mike, I want to thank you. You know, that the people that responded to your newsletter were unfailingly wonderful people. They were gentle. They were kind. They were courteous. They were considerate. I can't tell you how many of those emails had thank you at the bottom for it. There's a hunger and a thirst out there for real, genuine help and support, and you've got a really wonderful listening audience.
Oh, pleased to hear it. I'm sure I knew that anyway. Now,
yep.
Do you actually sell the selenium tablets yourself?
No, I don't sell it. My daughter lives in Idaho, and she has an account with the company whose sort of the supplements that I recommend make the selenium work better, and she's said to me that I can use her account with that company to order things for people, and I pass on the 15% discount that she would get to them, so she makes nothing on that. I have nothing to do with selling the book. I don't sell the selenium. When I send out an email, I basically tell people that unless the cancer is really sort of in a very serious life-threatening stage, that the only thing they probably need would be the selenium and the food that they can eat, if select certain types of foods. If it's really life-threatening, then get 100 days supply of the various supplements that they would need. But I can tell them what they could use. They don't have to take my word for the brand that I recommend. The stuff that I recommend is, I consider, to be the very best stuff on the face of the earth. But if somebody wants to use something else, that's perfectly their choice.
Yeah.
You know, I know what has worked for Roger. I know what's worked for other people. I know what I take. And I only tell people stuff. If I'm sitting here, and the other day I got 4 bottles of the selenium that I recommend coming because I was down to the last 2 capsules. And that's what Michelle and I take. The supplements that I recommend for other people are the supplements I take to keep my kidneys working and keep my body working.
Right.
Last summer, I cut up with my electric chainsaw a logging truckload of 20-some-odd cords of birch logs for firewood because we have wood heat. I have to save money as much as I can right now. My wife is down in Medford, Oregon. Her brother died down there in December, and she was down visiting family and being at the memorial service. And when she turned around to come back, the transmission on the car died. And so we're sitting here trying to figure out how we're going to get $6,000 for a transmission. we'll just get it back. But the nice part is we've got enough money to keep the website up, but that's not going to be there. We'll have enough, hopefully, to keep that for at least 5 years, even if I do die. But everybody has challenges, but I can't give people money, but I can help them cure their cancer. I can be there to help them any way I can, and I will go with that. That's the nicest thing that I can possibly do. Sometimes it's the only thing I can do.
Oh, it's fantastic. You've got a wonderful outlook and an attitude there. Perhaps you would like to confirm your website address for anybody who's come into the program without knowing the details.
Right. Well, the website is www.one, the word one, O-N-E, cancer cure. Even if they just type in one cancer cure as three separate words in Google, my website will come up.
Right. Okay, now, do you release your email address, or would you rather people contact you through the site?
If somebody goes to the website and I send them the email package that I do, right. My email address is on that email. My home address is in that email. My home phone number is on that email.
Right.
I don't try and hide from anybody.
Great. Well, I think that really buttons it up, Keith. It's been very interesting.
If somebody wants to send me an email, it's very easy to get. And you can put it on your website. It's real easy. It's keith@keithpendleberry.com.
Right, okay.
And if you know how to spell Keith Pendleberry and it's on your website, I saw the note there.
Yes.
Just keith@keithpendleberry.com, I'll get it. As long as you spell Pendleberry right, it'll come to me, I'm sure.
That's wonderful, yeah. Well, it's been great talking with you, and you've obviously been very, very successful in your mission, and you haven't finished yet, which is wonderful. From a personal point of view, I wish you every success where your own health is concerned.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is we're not in really, you know, the point is having 17% kidney function isn't the same as the doctor telling you that you're going to die, which is what he told to Roger. In my life, I have learned much from health challenges. I survived 22 strokes, 3 heart attacks, 2 of them on an airplane on the way to my mom's funeral, and an infection in my leg, and they had to amputate the bottom half of the right leg in March 2009. 6 weeks later, I got my first prosthetic leg, and the next day I was out riding my 18-speed bike on the roads here in Silver Creek, just outside Salmon Arm. I fell off the bike only once. I've learned something. I have a life to live, and I think, I know that if I died right away, I would go and I might stand before Heavenly Father, and he would look at me and he would say, Pendleberry, you sure weren't the brightest bulb on the tree of life down there, were you? And I would have to say that there was times in my life when I was really stupid. And I hope I would hear him say, but at the end, you got with the program, got a little lean-to over beside the gardener's cottage, there's a sleeping bag and bunk inside there. You can stay there and help him pull the weeds. I would be glad for that. But if I expect to get help from whatever powers can help me, I have to expect that I am going to do my utmost to help anybody and everybody else who needs help from me. Anything less than that is a betrayal of why I think I came to Earth and why I am still alive.
Well, you certainly know, and you're doing a fantastic job, I have to say, Keith. And I feel quite privileged to have had you on my program.
Well, you know, Mike, I am privileged to have been introduced to the people that listen to you and all the good people that I have been able to help and those people that I hope to be able to help down the road. And I'm grateful for the opportunity. I look outside. I live in a beautiful area. I see the beautiful white snow. I see the green trees. The sun is shining. And life, I appreciate the fact that I'm breathing, and when we hang up here, I expect there will start to be some more people who will say, hey, I'd like to get your ebook, and it would be absolute pleasure and joy to help anybody I can.
Thank you very, very much, Keith. Thank you.
You're welcome, sir. Thank you.
Well, friends, Keith, certainly quite a character, isn't he? And it's maybe not often that we find our true mission in our lives and are able to really devote ourselves to it like Keith has. Now, next week, I've got David Matthew Brown as my guest. He's just written a book called The Book of Light, The Heart Opening. And what it is a series of 5 small books that he has written to bring the reader back into the light. It's a whole series of, as you might say, pearls of wisdom or sayings, etc. So I think we're going to have a good time discussing some of his views as expressed in his book. So thank you very much for being with me today. I hope you can make it next week. God bless you all. Thank you.